Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, this is the North Star Show with Lily Gardner, and I'm so excited to be here today and to share with you some thoughts. I was recently watching a video where Carol Tuttle was talking about the science fiction action film movies in the Matrix series and talking about collective consciousness. And according to Wikipedia, the first Matrix movie depicts a dystopian future in which reality, as perceived by most humans, is actually a simulated reality called the Matrix, created by machines to subdue the human population while their body's heat and electrical activity are used as an energy source. A computer programmer named Neo learns about this Matrix and is drawn into a rebellion against the machines, which involves other people who have been freed from the dream world. The Matrix movie pays homage to Plato's allegory of the cave. If anyone is listening that doesn't know about Plato's allegory of the cave, I invite you to look it up. But today I want to introduce you to my guest, Larry Ziegler, who was actually the first person to introduce me to the concept of collective consciousness, to modern ideas about collective consciousness. And so this is Dr. Ziegler. He is a chiropractic physician practicing in Salt Lake City. He's a survivor of a head-on collision between a car and his bicycle that taught him many things about what it means to be both a doctor and a patient. Dr. Ziegler lives in Sandy, Utah, with his wife and four children and enjoys skiing, bicycling, fishing, and many other outdoor activities. Dr. Ziegler is also a 10-year veteran of the United States Marine Corps Reserve. So, Dr. Z, how are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. You're welcome. Could you please tell us about Rupert Sheldrake's findings on the collective consciousness?
Absolutely. I was first introduced to this years ago, and it's a concept that has a lot of weight in my world when you think about it. I'm in a clinical setting often and working with people who have various different levels of health issues, concerns, pains, new traumas. And it always felt like, and I've been taught many times, that when you practice principles of things like present time consciousness, when you really focus on the fact that you are with that particular patient or that family member or that person at any given time, the conversation, the relationship that you have, the result of that treatment can be so much more powerful. And so when I was introduced to this concept of collective consciousness, it made a lot of sense to me. And Rupert Sheldrake actually refers to it as collective unconsciousness and morphic resonance. And his basic tenet was that our consciousness, our soul, if you will, some part of what we are, the energy that makes us exist as human beings, extends far beyond the bounds of the actual body that we stand in. And one of the most interesting examples that was given from some of his work clear back in 1987 was an input by a gentleman named Wayne Potts, who looked at the maneuvering waves of birds. If you've ever watched, you know how the birds kind of go in these huge groups and move in all different directions in what they call a murmuration, and they all seem to turn at the same exact time, right? And it just looks weird, like how do they manage that? And so Wayne Potts actually measured this. He would slow down video and observe what was going on within the flock. And a single bird or a small group of birds could start or initiate a new turn, and instantly the whole flock would follow, usually within 20 milliseconds, which is an incredibly fast reaction time. When you separate the birds and use something like, say, a strobe flash or anything that could cause them to react to that stimulus and change their flight of path or change what they're doing, the average reaction time to an outside stimulus that would cause them to turn or make a decision or reaction was 80 to 100 milliseconds. So 4 to 5 times slower when flying as an individual versus as part of a flock. And what can account for that other than the possibility that our minds are somehow sharing this unconscious ability to predict each other's movements around us? And in a patient and doctor setting, does the same thing happen? Have you ever had that experience in a conversation with anyone where you feel you're guided in a specific direction, or that the result of that conversation is part of the effect that you are both there with your consciousness blended in that particular time and space? It's a really, really interesting idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love that. So I was wondering how your life story led you to what you're doing now.
Well, I haven't actually shared much of that with a lot of people, even my own patients, because sometimes it's hard to talk about. And also, I don't want people to think that just being injured or going through something difficult is the only reason why I do what I do.
Okay.
But it has certainly guided my choices and helped me to become who I am. I actually, when I was younger, had some health issues, some pain and troubles, even in my teenage years, and was helped out by a local chiropractor. I still remember Dr. H. Wallace Gunn, who practiced in St. George, Utah. He was fantastic. I loved my time and my visits when I would go see Dr. Gunn. And as I got older and started to decide on things like where should I go to school, what do I want to do, what do I want my career to be, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. And ultimately, I decided on chiropractic, large part because of his influence and a few other factors in my life. But even with all of that behind me, when I first came out of school and started into active practice, there was a certain element still missing from what I have today. And I didn't realize it at the time, and I wasn't looking for it. But sometimes we're guided down different roads, and who knows why, but for different reasons. And for me, it was an auto collision that changed everything. I was actually studying and working on certifications to be a certified specialist dealing with auto accident injury and care. What are the mechanisms of injury? How do we deal with it? How do you deal with the medical legal aspects of a case? All of that was very important to me, but from a very mechanical standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wanted to understand the mechanics of it so I could do a better job, but it didn't have a lot of meaning or feeling to it as much as it was part of what you were supposed to do to improve your career and improve patient outcomes. And then I was taught in a different way. I was put on the other side of the fence. I became a patient rather than a doctor. I met the front end of this car at 30, 35 miles an hour, each of us coming towards each other, and it was a head-on collision. And had a lot of injury. I won't go into detail because that's not really that important, but quite a few fractures and bleeding and all kinds of things that you just don't visualize for yourself. But there I was laying on the side of the road. And from that moment moving forward, I had to make different choices about who I was, both as a patient and as a doctor. And it really, really affected me. By the end of it all, I actually spent several years away from the profession, both in recovery time and in just taking the time to think and reassess my priorities and figure out how to take care of my family. It was not a simple thing for us to do. And I really struggled with dealing with injury recovery and the case and all of the different pieces that came with that, that you just, as an average consumer and even as a person with my level of education in those areas, it was hard to deal with. When I decided to come back into practice, I say decided. I was very guided. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Lily, but I had found another job, corporate benefits, and the whole works and a salary, and thought that maybe I would just stay there. And at a certain day, I was sitting at my desk, and a very distinct impression came to me that I was doing the wrong thing. And I can tell you and your listeners, if you have that sort of impression in your life, don't question it. You can sit there and wonder what that means as long as you want. But what it meant for me was it was time to take action and move in a different direction. And I reapplied to reinstate my license, get everything back in order so that I could come back into active practice. I took a lot of additional postgraduate education during that period. It took me 6 months to get all of that done, because it's not a simple process. It took me another 6 months to find a clinic where I was comfortable going in as a physician to say, yes, these clinical systems will work. This gives me the ability to interact with patients the way I want to, and all of this looks good. And I told that doctor, the owner of that clinic, that yes, I was interested and I wanted to be there. And he asked me point blank while we're sitting at dinner, great, when do you want to start? And I thought, oh my gosh, you know I need to make a change, but I'm not ready for this, right? It's like this was just something that was potentially out there, and I knew I needed to do something, but when do you want to start is a whole different discussion. And I said, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that right now. I've been driven to get everything ready and be prepared to move forward with this, but I'm not sure how to do it. So give me some time to figure out how to finance this move, how to take care of my family, and move away from this corporate kind of security blanket that I developed for myself, and I'll let you know when I can start. And he said, great, the opportunity's here. We'd love to have you. You let me know. And I went back to work, and it was 8 days later that it was announced my company had been bought out by another national company, and my job was eliminated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had a year to prepare for that, and thank goodness I listened to that gentle nudge of you're doing the wrong thing, and figured out what the right thing might be. The severance package that came with that separation was more than enough to keep food on the table and help my family as I transitioned from being there in a corporate job to having self-employment income again. And it worked. It worked well. And I also found that I focused again and recertified in auto accident care. It's very much a passion for me. But rather than just going through the mechanics of a case, you know, preparing a good narrative and being a good physician in that way, I have, at this point in my life, a closeness with my patients, the ability to relate to their case, and empathy that was never there before. And I don't know how to explain that or how you could possibly teach that in school. And don't get me wrong, I'm not recommending that every physician in the world needs to get run over by a car to be a good doctor. That's not my point. But that's what I needed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It really changed my life, and I think for the better. I've been asked many times if you could turn the clock back and not go through all those years of pain and you know, lose your job and all the things that happened as part of this accident cycle, would you do it? And honestly, at this point, I have to say no. What I've learned and who I've become, the strength of my family, the difference that it's made for my patients, and everything that I've done is far too valuable for me to want to give that experience back.
Okay, cool. So what are the three most powerful things that you have learned to date?
Oh, that's an easy one for me. So, number one, if you believe you can do something, you can. I am such a huge fan of visualization and positive reinforcement. The Marine Corps taught me that, and it is Veterans Day, so happy Veterans Day to all of you who are out there. Thank you so much for your service.
Yes, thank you.
It was
you
a big
for...
part of my life in the, I loved it. The time I spent in the Marine Corps completely changed my life. I spoke just a year ago at a funeral for a dear friend, one of my first commanding officers. His name was Dr. David L. Holmes. And he was the one that drew me into his office repeatedly when I was a young Marine and said, son, are you going to school? And I was not a great student in high school. Any of my old teachers, if you're listening, would know. I graduated with a terrible GPA. I was highly undermotivated. I was smart, but I didn't understand the value of the high school experience. Education didn't have a lot of meaning for me. And Dr. Holmes... his rank was gunnery sergeant, or gunner, which is chief warrant officer. He was the one that continually pulled me in and said, son, you need to go to school. And I eventually listened to him. He pulled me in at one point. He asked me, are you signed up to go to school yet? And I said, no, sir. And he said, why not? Are you stupid? And I answered with, no, I'm not stupid. And he said, oh, you're an idiot then. And he made his point. His point was, you're not making smart choices right now about your future. I listened to him. I went to school. And to be able to speak at his funeral and share the successes of my life and the differences that it's made to have my education and to have followed his advice was powerful for me. And it's one of the things I appreciate most about the military and what it does for many individuals is that you meet people who are further down the road of life than you are, who can share, who can teach you. If you believe you can, you can. But you have to take that first step. You have to set a goal, believe you can reach it, and go after it. And it's amazing how powerful that can be if you're willing to take that chance. And second thing goes right along with it. I've also learned that if you believe you can't, then you won't. You also set yourself up to fail if you allow yourself to believe the negativity that's around you in the world. You have to stand above it. You have to look past it and plan to succeed, or you won't be able to move on down that road. And then lastly, I have a little plaque that I keep on my desk, and it may sound a little conceited, but I've had it for years. It says, diplomacy is the art of letting other people see things your way. I believe that is powerful, and I also use it as a reason to listen more carefully to my patients, to my colleagues, to other business people that I work with, because they are often interested in exercising diplomacy or sharing their point of view with me. Am I a good enough listener? Am I paying enough attention to the needs and the wants of the others who come through my door to make sure that they're accomplishing their goals in the time that they spend with me? If I am, then we've created a good relationship. And if I'm not, then I've got to look further back and pay more attention to what I'm doing when I'm interacting with these people, and I think that is super important too.
Right. I want to remind the listeners that to call in and ask Dr. Ziegler questions, you can call the number 646-716-7979. Okay, great. Did you do the third?
Yeah. So third would be diplomacy for me.
Diplomacy.
Always diplomacy.
Okay. Since you mentioned Veterans Day, I just wanted to mention that the group that puts out the emotion code has an offer, a free offer to all veterans and military personnel right now who are currently serving in any military in the world, to have a free book of the emotion code, which is a book that is presents an energy healing technique that helps us to identify and literally release trapped emotions, which are harmful emotional energies from negative past events. Trapped emotions can cause depression, anxiety that can block people from love and happiness and make them feel disconnected from others. And because trapped emotions are made of energy, just like the rest of the body, they exert an influence on the physical tissues and can cause acute pain and even cancer. Releasing trapped emotions makes conditions right for the body to heal, so physical and emotional difficulties often disappear or become much more manageable. So I just want to really put a plug in for getting a copy of the Emotion Code from the website healerslibrary.com. Dr. Ziegler, I would love for you to have a copy of this as well, because I think that you could enhance your ability to help people if you knew this modality. I've been studying different modalities for the last 15 years, and this one has become my favorite. And so I just wanted to mention that they always have a free promotion for soldiers, but since it's Veterans Day, I just wanted to mention that.
That's awesome. I did not know that, so I will definitely go and take a look.
Okay, great. So is there a movie that makes a certain point that you would like to encourage the audience to watch?
It's a good question for me. I am a creature of habit when it comes to movies. And one of my worst habits is I hate movies. And the reason I do is, we're on radio, so your audience can't see me, but I'm 6'4". I was 6'5" in high school. I'm getting older. I'm getting shorter. But when I was a kid, back in the 70s and 80s, movie theater seats were really small. Do you remember those days? I literally had to put my knees up on the seat in front of me to be able to shove myself into a theater chair. And so there's always been this kind of negative connotation for me when it comes to going to theaters, and I just don't do it. My wife loves movies, and now they all have stadium seating, and I know. And once in a while, I will force myself to go to a movie. But typically, I avoid theaters. There are a few movies that I like to watch at home. But I don't put a lot of stock into what Hollywood produces as much as good books, powerful, scripture and positive media, things that you can refer to on a daily basis to motivate yourself. The whole Hollywood and movie side of things has never really been a big part of my personal culture.
Okay. So what is your favorite book and your favorite fiction book and your favorite self-help book that you would recommend to others?
Oh, there's a few. So when it comes to fiction, I am all over the map, right?
Okay.
There's a couple that I read, and I have to tell you, I'm a creature of habit. So I have probably 20 or so preferred books, mostly fiction, some nonfiction, that I read on a regular basis, at least once a year. And these are significant books, 500, 600, 800-page novels, some of them. One of my favorites is I love the entire science fiction series of Dune that was started by Frank Herbert. And his son, Brian Herbert, and another author, Kevin J. Anderson, have done a wonderful job of doing both prequel stories and sequel stories to the original Dune books that Frank Herbert wrote before he died. I love it. The politics, the religion, the human nature that comes through is amazing. The detail is incredible. I've read each of those books dozens of times, and I still find new information and new insight every time I go through. It's not the same to me as reading scripture, but there is a lot of life guidance and incredible information that Herbert was able to put into this science fiction fantasy world that he put together that has so much meaning even in our own current daily lives. I think it's amazing. Secondly, you said self-help or motivation. There are so many. I'm also a business owner as well as a physician. It's part of the the process of my profession is you also tend to end up owning a business. So I read a lot of books that are oriented around how to run a business, how to do things. But I'm also one of those people who is up very early in the morning. I think the military contributed to that. I get up at 4 or so every day. And those first 2 or 3 hours of the day are incredibly productive for me. And I also use a system called MindFit, which is amazing. And it's developed by a guy named Dr. Patrick Porter. And one of my favorite books actually is his book, Thrive in Overdrive. And it very much applies to me and many of us in today's society. We have so many things we want to do and accomplish and only so many hours in a day. How do you keep your brain on task and stay motivated and focused on the things that are important? Thrive in Overdrive by Dr. Patrick Porter is a fantastic insight into how the brain works and how to maximize your own talent and potential. I love that one.
Excellent. Okay, I want to remind the callers that the number to call to ask Dr. Ziegler a question is 646-716-7979. 646-716-7979. Okay, and next, what are habits that you just really can't live without?
Oh, that's a great one. So I think all of us need to figure out where it is that we live. What is our optimal space? Kind of like what I just mentioned, Thrive in Overdrive. What is it that helps you be as productive and as happy as possible every day? And I looked at my own life. I looked at my own recovery process. I've had some significant injuries in my life. I have many metal parts I wasn't born with. You know, what is it every day that gets me out of bed, that drives me forward? And I came up with 4 principles. And I have an ebook on this, and we're building quite a significant pool of information around these simple concepts that can touch almost every life of every patient that I encounter. I lecture publicly on this all the time. But I'll run down the 4 for you real quick because they're significant right here. And number 1 is, I think that as a general rule, in this country, the United States of America, we suffer from a lack of movement. We don't get out and exercise nearly as much as we should. And there are a lot of discussion points behind that on why, but we've sort of built this culture. We built corporate environments where we sit in desks, chairs all day long. We, in order to produce the products that we make and the services that we offer, we often neglect our own health. And it starts with, we don't move enough. And I will almost always ask when I give this lecture publicly, if anyone in the room knows the American Heart Association's recommendation for exercise for their age group and sex. And I've never had a single person yet who could give me the answer. Now, there's 2 reasons for that. One is the answer's a little convoluted, right? Their guidelines aren't super straightforward and simple. But number 2 is that we just aren't paying attention to that. So for me, my wife is a great example of this to me. If I'm getting cranky or short with my answers or something else, she'll say, you know what, you need to go for a ride. She knows when I go out and go for a good ride on my bicycle, which, yes, I know I've been run over, and I still love it. I absolutely love to get out on the bike and put in some miles. A great year for me is a 4,000 or 5,000 mile year. I love to ride, and I'm hopelessly addicted to it. I'm an endorphin junkie. I get the endorphin rush very quick when I head out on the bike, but I know that about myself. And it's a powerful therapeutic event for me to be able to walk out the door and go for a quick run or a bike ride and hit the giant reset button. Boom. And I feel fantastic. Right? It's just a wonderful thing if you can incorporate functional movement into your life and get things going again. If we're not moving, we're losing. And this is significant when you talk about brain development, development of new brain cells, coordination of the body, recovery and healing times after an accident. When you add active motion, you heal faster. It's amazing how our body works. And we have multiple solutions for that as part of what we do here in the clinic, from both chiropractic, physical therapy. We use whole body vibration on a regular basis. We carry the units from Lifetime Vibe, which are built here in the U.S. I think movement is a critical, critical piece, and everybody should do a better job of getting out and moving. If your listeners need advice on that, I'm happy to help them. We speak publicly, corporate wellness kind of things, all the time on how to incorporate better movement into your day. Tenet number two is we don't tend to eat well. Nutrition is tenet number two. And okay. Nutrition, when I say we need to eat better, is like opening a giant gray can of what are you talking about? It is so difficult, even in the internet age, to go out and figure out on your own. You, Lily, tomorrow, I want you to go out and create for yourself a new plan for what you're going to eat, how often you're going to eat it, where you're going to buy it, and all of the other factors that go with how food affects our lives. Can you imagine the challenge? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And the information is so broad and so diffuse and so different. And every nutritionist or counselor you go to will probably give you completely different advice, right?
Uh-huh.
So how do you sort out how should I be eating? If you talk to any company that sells nutritional supplements, they will all direct you down a different road, probably based around what they sell. So we have tried very hard to narrow this down in a way that almost anyone can understand. We have an in-house clinic for weight loss. We have a nutritionist and physical trainer that comes in on a regular basis and helps people dial in choices for themselves. We have purchased our own grocery store so that you can buy clean, organic, non-GMO foods and have them shipped directly to your home for free for less money than you would pay at the grocery store for the same product. That's an investment we were willing to make because so many people in our client base were asking the same questions. Well, where and how do I buy my food? This is so hard. We've tried to make it simple. Let's decide what does work for you. What whole foods do you like to prepare and eat on a regular basis? Here's a menu and a shopping list for the next 2 weeks or 4 weeks. You go in, you say, that's what I want for the next 2 weeks. You click on order, and it all shows up at your house. So it's just amazing that in the midst of all the clutter and all the noise that's out there about how to feed yourself today, you know, there's all kinds of sayings out there. We're digging ourselves a grave with our teeth. Watch the movies like Fed Up or any others. There's no question in America we're fat. We're unhealthy. We're just, it's awful right now. And one of my favorite targets on the food scale, and I think you and I talked about this before, is sugar. Sugar to me is a massive, massive enemy. I was listening to the debates last night, the Republican debate online, and I heard just a blurb from one of the candidates. I don't even know who it was. But they said something like lobbying reform is needed and different reforms in government. And the specific reference that they used, I think it was Ted Cruz who was talking, was that the Sugar Growers Association, or whoever it is, has something like 0.02% of the market, but they contribute something like 40% of lobbying dollars in the specific area they were talking about.
Wow.
They know sugar is not good for us, but sugar makes a lot of money. So are we going to stop producing and selling sugar anytime soon? Probably not. Hostess went bankrupt. Was there any good reason nutritionally to salvage Hostess and bring it back so we could keep making cheap white bread and Twinkies? No, nobody needs that. But the economy needed Hostess, so we brought it back. I'll give you a great example. I won't use the name of the product because we're on the radio, but there's a product you can buy at the grocery store, and it's a wholesome juice, typically sold in the end caps in or near the produce aisle. There are several different brands of this, but basically it says something like 1.5 pounds of fruits and vegetables in every bottle. No added sugar right on the front label, right? It all looks great. It's loaded with vitamins and minerals. But if you turn it around and you think of it from this perspective, hey, I don't have time for breakfast today, or I need a power snack, I'm going to take this and drink it because this is loaded with stuff that's good for me, right? Well, we need good healthy fats in our diet. We need plenty of protein so that we don't kick into gluconeogenesis during the day and break down our own muscle for lack of protein in our diet. We need less sugar, not more. And it should also be complex, low glycemic index type of sugars with natural fibers from things like fruits and vegetables and others throughout during the day. I believe it's the American Diabetic Association says you shouldn't have more than 25 grams of added sugars in your daily diet above and beyond your normal, what you would expect in carb load from a good, healthy, balanced meal that you would eat, right? Well, there's 39 grams in a single Coca-Cola, 12-ouncer. Mm-hmm. How often do we drink Coca-Cola or other sodas during the day? One of those in a day completely blows your added sugar diet. Just a thought.
Right.
Back to the fruit juice. If you turn it around and read the label, on the majority of these, I'm taking one that's a specific antioxidant blueberry blend, is my favorite target. 0 grams of fat. So the good balance of maybe 30% fat, 30% proteins, and 40% carbs is out the window since there's zero fat in there. 1 gram of protein, average per serving, and 44 grams of carbs. Now think about that. The average sugar cube has 4 grams of weight. So for 44 grams, that would be taking that serving there, that glass, and adding 11 cubes of sugar to it to get the same equivalent sugar amount as what comes naturally in that serving. 1 gram of protein, 11 cubes of sugar. Sounds good, right? And here's the uber dirty secret. It's a two-serving bottle, that little bottle that everybody chugs and drinks on their own. So there's 88 grams or 22 cubes of sugar in that one-serving bottle or two-serving bottle that we typically would take and drink down on our own as a breakfast replacement. So on top of that, you look at it, the primary ingredient is apple juice. Why? Because it's cheap and it's loaded with sweetness. And then you get a slurry of the other fruits blended in as purees. So it's not like they stuck a bunch of fruit in a blender, and there you go. And then it has added vitamins and mineral. So if you took a glass of water, threw in some Metamucil, crush up a multivitamin, toss it in there, and 22 cubes of sugar and stirred that up, you would get about the same nutrition from that glass as you would from the juice that you just paid $3.85 for. But that's the way we're marketed to at the grocery store. We have to make better choices for ourselves. We have to look through the noise and look through what makes millions of dollars at the grocery store versus what we should actually be eating and what's healthy for our bodies. So that's number two, nutrition.
How do people get a hold of your get access to your grocery store and your ebook and all that?
So, very simple. They can email me directly.
Okay.
And it's information at maximumfunction.com. The name of our clinic is Maximum Function Health Center. And we have a website that's online right now, maximumfunctionchiropractic.com, with a lot of great information. And I'll repeat these real quick, but MaximumFunctionChiropractic.com has our base info. The grocery store is being built out right now. Our interface is almost done. It'll be fully live probably within the next week or so. And anyone who wants to can email us at that information at MaximumFunction.com, and we'll send out all of the fun rollout information as we have it. But the actual URL of the grocery store when it goes live here in a week or so will be Max Fun Market MFM.com, short for Maximum Function Marketplace. So that's where all of the products will be posted and listed. And for anyone who's local here in Salt Lake City, they can work through us right here at the clinic. And we have a wonderful physical trainer, Helen Golden, who comes down from Park City. And she has years and years and years worth of experience to help build custom menus and custom eating plans that will go along with the ability to purchase there from the grocery store in a really simple way and make it easy. But the majority of information about the clinic and what we do is posted right now at MaximumFunctionChiropractic.com. You can also get us on Facebook. My Facebook page, I believe, is Ask Dr. Z. So you would go to Facebook, and it's just www.facebook.com/AskDrZ. And it's spelled out A-S-K-D-O-C-T-O-R and the letter Z, AskDrZ.com. You can like us there, and obviously all of the information about the grocery store, anything else, will be posted there over the next few weeks. We'll keep everybody in the loop on that. It should make it pretty easy to be in touch with us. You can also just call us directly. Our local number is area code 801-901-4261. And you can reach us any day of the week at that number. We'd be happy to answer questions there. Awesome. You ready for number three?
Yep, we're ready for number three.
Number three is a little controversial, but I'm going to throw it out there. And I'm going to preface number three with, I'm not giving advice here, and you'll understand why in a second. Number three is, I believe as a whole, we are entirely too dependent on the medical system, especially the drugs. We are, as an entire nation, over-medicated. And there are very few people who have ever argued that point or disagreed with me there. Now, as a disclaimer, I am not saying here on the radio or anywhere ever that anyone should go home and throw away all their medications. That is not the case. In many, many cases, those medications are critical, and stopping them suddenly or changing your plan without consulting your physician could be very dangerous. But let's talk about it for a minute. My generation, and I'm nearly 50, and those ahead of me and even a lot of the younger kids, we have been taught from the time we were young that control of our health, what makes us healthy or unhealthy, what fixes us when we're broken, is always a pill or a surgery or something that happens to us or is done for us by a doctor or medical professional. And I think it's high time that we take back responsibility for taking care of ourselves. And if you look at tenet two, nutrition, what we eat, and tenet one, movement, how much we exercise, how many people who are dependent today on drugs for conditions like high cholesterol, diabetes, heart disease, how many of us could remain healthier longer and have better lives if we were willing to control what we eat and move more? It's a pretty deep question, and it doesn't point to a simple solution. We have been taught that we're not responsible for those choices, that we can be fixed by just taking a statin drug or having another stent placed or something. And hey, it's amazing that we have those surgeries and technologies available, but I would like to see them utilized on a contingency or last need basis rather than being a daily answer versus personal responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense, or am I blowing smoke?
No, it makes
crazy.
Total sense.
I've had this conversation with my own personal cardiologist when I went in prior to my shoulder surgery. I had to have my shoulder fixed and as a result of some of my injury. And I had a history of some heart issues in my family and otherwise. And so they wanted me to go see a cardiologist before this surgery, and I agreed to that. I went to see him. He's great. Love him. And one of the conversations that we had was, hey, your cholesterol is a little high. Let's get that under control. I'll get you on a statin drug so we can get you going. And I said, how about no? I am absolutely not interested in a statin drug. And he's like, well, you know, you're at risk right now. This is what we've got to do. And we had a really long conversation. I'm at risk, even though my cholesterol number was lower than what was acceptable a few years ago before statin drugs really gained prevalence in the market. Statin drugs block the synthesis of cholesterol in your liver. Your body makes the cholesterol it needs. It forms it into the forms that it wants to help build your nervous system, cell walls, and other parts of your body that help you maintain a healthy constitution. If you take a statin drug, you block that synthesis to a certain degree. But the building blocks, the fatty acids and the other materials that are used to make that cholesterol, where do they go? They're still floating around in your bloodstream. And if you're eating a lot of arachidonic acid and omega-6 fatty acids and other inflammatory foods, you still have as much risk for deposition of material on your artery walls as anybody whose cholesterol is lower than yours. It's kind of a catch-22. Statin drugs also cause myolysis and breakdown of muscle tissue and other side effects that can be very severe depending on the person who's taking it. I don't think statin drugs should be a blanket solution for lowering cholesterol, but right now they are. And I had that conversation with my cardiologist. I successfully lowered my cholesterol over a period of 6 months. And when I came back to the office, he asked me which statin drug I was on because he couldn't find it in his file. And I said, I'm not taking any. I changed a few things. I dropped a few things from my diet. I added a few other healthy fats in, and this is where I'm at. And he said, that's amazing. And I said, not really. It's actually really easy, and it surprises me that you don't have more people subscribing to the same theory and doing more of this for themselves. And he said, you know, years ago we did, and we tried, and we had nutritionists and other people, and I know a lot of offices focus on that. But patient compliance, patient's willingness to do these things for themselves is so low that it's easier for us to prescribe the statin drug and try and help maintain them in a healthier state. And that is a statement on me, on you, and on every other patient out there. That leads me to tenet number four, which is personal responsibility. As much as I like you, Lily, and I tell all my patients this too, we can talk all we want about things you can do to change the state of your health. But if you don't do them, nothing is going to happen. I love you, but I am not going to call you tomorrow and ask you what you're having for breakfast or if you'd like to go for a walk, right? You have to do those things. And I had a great conversation with him about that, and we both kind of shook our heads and shook hands on the fact that, yeah, the paradigm has to shift. Patients have got to take more responsibility for themselves, and that's one thing that we really focus on here at Maximum Function Health Center is protocols that allow patients to step in, be more active in their own care, and be more responsible for the visible and tangible outcomes of the treatment methods and protocols that we provide here. We want them to understand how important their involvement is, both now and over the long term, of managing chronic conditions so that they have the best possible opportunity for success.
So you mentioned with your tenet number one, about Vibes Up. Could you explain that a little more, what that is?
About which? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Vibes Up, the vibration machine.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So Lifetime Vibe or Whole Body Vibration is a great way to add movement if you're not able to go out and do current exercise. We do see a lot of people after car accidents, people who have been convalescent or recovering. And all research points in the same direction. Movement is life. When you stop moving, your nervous system starts to shut down. You start to lose muscle. Most of us can relate to this very easily. We know someone who's had a cast on their arm or their leg, and just 4 to 6 weeks later, when they get that cast off, that arm or leg is significantly smaller than the other one because the muscles have just shrunk away due to lack of use. Now, it may not be as immediately noticeable, but when you start sitting on the couch more or not walking around the way you used to, think of all the little muscles that stabilize your spine, your abdominal muscles, the muscles that stabilize your neck and head. When you've been injured or you've had a shift in your activity pattern and you start sitting or lying in bed all day long, you start losing muscle. The muscle that stabilizes the very core of your body, your spine, and your nervous system, and it can have incredible effect on your health. Whole body vibration allows you to receive exercise, the equivalent of about an hour's worth of exercise in 10 minutes. By just standing there or doing specific therapeutic-based exercises, and the machine moves and helps generate muscle response, tonality, and a lot of other great effects while you're there using it. So it's a great entry-level therapeutic device for people who have had limited mobility, for seniors or people who are actively aging and losing the ability to exercise as much as they'd like on their own. And the goal of that type of rehabilitation or movement is always to help restore something closer to normal function so that you can start walking, participating in lighter, simple sports, getting back in the pool, whatever it is you love to do. We like to use whole body vibration as a bridge solution. And you can learn more about them at lifetimevibe.com. It's just like it sounds, lifetime, V-I-B-E, vibe, like vibration, lifetimevibe.com. They have a lot of great information, research studies, tons of great reference material there on the website. We also have a demonstration center for Lifetime Vibe here at Maximum Function Health Center. We have 4 or 5 machines that are available all day, every day. People are welcome to come, check out the machines. They can walk in anytime we're open and use the machines. We don't charge for that. We like to support people being able to have access to it. Come, use them, and try and incorporate that into adding more motion into their regular routines and doing something active for themselves on a regular basis.
I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia in 2003, and I found out fairly quickly that the doctors don't seem to have a very good answer for certain illnesses like fibromyalgia. They just don't know what to do with it. But this, the Lifetime Vibe type machine, is something that I found was helpful for me, and because it's a really gentle machine, but it has a powerful effect.
Right. And, you know, with something like fibromyalgia or any other condition, neuropathy, diabetes, doesn't matter where you start from, we, of course, always recommend a full physical evaluation with your physician. And exercise recommendations, even if it's for whole body vibration, that are designed around your specific condition. With things like fibromyalgia, we take a long look at nutrition, the stability and health of your gut, and of course the amount of exercise or movement that you're able to get in the midst of pain, muscle weakness, and other problems that are typically present, and try to use a combination approach that would allow you to recover based on what your body needs at that time. I don't believe there is a single blanket recipe for a lot of the conditions that are out there. We have to look at them one by one. And that's part of what we do here, is being able to take that additional time and provide the analysis that's available. But you're right. It is a gentler form of exercise. We can take professional or D1 level college athletes and challenge the heck out of them with that platform. Or we can take a 96-year-old grandma and teach her how to do cross-crawl exercises in a safe way that puts more motion back into her life and helps her get back away from the walker. It's just amazing how versatile the tool is if you have the right information to adapt it to a particular patient's needs.
All right. Is there anything else that you are just waiting to say? We have about 6 minutes left, and so
So a couple of things. You know, you asked me about productivity strategies earlier.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, there's a couple of things that have really emerged in my life, and I've alluded to it a little bit, but it applies to here, Maximum Function Health Center, our current practice model, in so many ways, and I think that they would apply to most of your listeners as well. So I'll share a couple of those. Number one, is I am a big believer in early to bed, early to rise. You need your sleep. You need your REM sleep. You need good, deep sleep. If you're not sleeping well, call me. We use the MindFit systems here from Dr. Porter. They are amazing when it comes to helping you program your brain to sleep and rest well at night. There are many research studies out there on sleep, but one of the things that tends to rise out of all of that is that an hour of sleep before midnight is typically worth 2 hours of sleep after midnight. Get to bed earlier. Figure out ways to shut down your day, close out your task list, turn down your mind, and get to sleep sooner. If you need good advice or specific help with that, let me know. But I do. I go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock with my younger son, who's 8 years old. We read a story or watch a cartoon, and then we head off to bed, and I get up at 4. And it's changed my life to have those hours of productivity in the morning and be able to accomplish a lot of my daily goals before I ever walk out the door. Number two is know your limits and know when to ask for help. This applies to both business owners, moms and dads, patients, anybody. We, I think, try to take on too much on a regular basis. And we see it as a sign of weakness if we reach out or ask for help from somebody else. I say get over it. Reach out. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your boss. Talk to your friends. How can you lighten your load and receive help? It's hard sometimes to say, yeah, come on over and give me a hand. But it's wonderful when you give someone else a chance to provide service and help to you, to share their expertise, their knowledge, or their time, and it can create more powerful relationships in your life. It's a win-win when you reach out and allow somebody to give you a hand. And also be willing to be that friend who can step up and help someone else who appears to be in need. I think that it's a paradigm we really need to work on. And lastly, one of the most powerful things that was shared with me in the last few years, and I've heard it from multiple sources and taken it to heart, is that we do need to say no more often than we do. And not in a negative way, but I used to be willing to just say yes, yes, yes to anything. I can help with that. I can do that. And I found myself working 90 hours a week and running around like a chicken with my head cut off half the time, just trying to keep up with all of the promises that I made. The quality of your work suffers, the quality of your life suffers if you spread yourself too thin. Focus on what's important, say no once in a while, and be willing to ask for help, and you'll have a much, much better time.
Excellent. Okay. So I want to just recap. So the four tenets are make sure that you get out and move, exercise, and take care of your body in that way. The second tenet is to eat well. The third is to stay away from, well, to work on becoming independent of medication, right?
Decrease dependence on the medical model, yes.
Okay, decrease dependence on the model. And the fourth is to take personal responsibility. And I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. And I wanted to thank all the veterans and say happy Veterans Day. And remember that you can get a free copy of The Emotion Code from healerslibrary.com. And we'll be back in 2 weeks and with the North Star Show. And I'll be doing emotion code processes. So be sure to call in. The number is 646-716-7979.
Awesome, Lily. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again.